Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Gentlemen, quick reminder that everything here is pulled from the Personal Image System. The Personal Image System is my master level course. I offer it a few times a year. Gentlemen, this is built off of decades of research and development. My experience as owning a personal clothier, having helped thousands of men build their wardrobe. I take my background in science and apply it to my Science of Style section. It is action oriented. We've got an amazing community. We've got live training, 100 plus lessons with resource materials. We cover body language, etiquette, manners. I give you buy lists for your core wardrobe. Gentlemen, go check it out. You won't be disappointed. To learn more about the Personal Image System, just type it into Google, the Personal Image System, or go to Real Men Real Style, where you're going to see a banner and it will take you over there. Or, like I recommend, join my email list. Guys, I put out information and I announce whenever I'm going to open up a course. All right, so we're going to be getting into the science of style, and I'm going to start this off by talking about rational versus irrational decision making. This is coming out of my personal image blueprint, which is a part of my personal image system, and I had a lot of fun with this, and in general, the science of style is something I've been enjoying. We've got almost, within the personal image system, I think I've got almost 100 researched articles in various paths that I've had my guys dive into the stacks, from understanding the power of fragrance to how each color has an effect on a person. And this, of course, is by culture. But I wanted to start off with rational versus irrational decision making. And I give this an entire section in the blueprint. And the reason I do that is because most men, especially men, we think we are rational beings. I remember growing up watching Star Trek and being a big fan of Spock. I love the new Star Treks, by the way. But when I see this and I'm like, the guy doesn't let emotion drive him. And I try to read up on these things. I think I can control my emotions. And I like to believe that I'm this kind of person. However, we are irrational beings. And what's funny is actually in my personal image blueprint, I run people through a little quiz, and I actually, in the live training, I run them through a quick little test to point out how irrational people are. Because if you don't think that you're going to be swayed by the way somebody smells, by the way that they look, if you are thinking about it and you are going into, I know that professional interviewers are usually pretty good because this is something that they go through and they're supposed to be professionals. But believe me, even those people fall prey, especially after they've done a number of interviews. It's near the end of the day. They're just tired. You only have so much willpower. And then you start to fall back on shortcuts. And I think that's one of the keys to understanding irrationality, is it's not that we don't want to be rational. And deep down, I mean, you may even practice meditation. You may focus in on, yes, I need to make a smart decision here. But you've only got so much willpower in a day. You've only got so much energy, and you start to fall back on shortcuts. So in my presentation, one of the things I challenge people is, when was the first time that you made a rational decision today? Because think about it. You woke up and that wasn't a rational decision. You heard an alarm, you reacted to it, and all of a sudden you were even groggy, but you probably got up, you went to the bathroom, and then maybe you turned on the shower, you took a shower, everything was where it should be, and you just fell into this system of eating breakfast, maybe kissing your wife goodbye. You jump in your car, you follow the same path, and you really didn't have to start thinking about anything till you got to work, and then there were those emails or that meeting when somebody actually asked you a question, and you had to take a step back and think about it. Everything else up to then was going up on cruise control. Oftentimes people don't even remember driving to work. They know that, I mean, they go through the process, but unless they passed a wreck or they went through, I mean, let me ask, what 2 weeks ago to this day, what did you have for dinner? Now, if you're like most people, you're not going to remember that. And the reason we don't remember it is because it was just like we were just on cruise control at that process. You may have actually made the dinner, which sounds, I mean, just goes to show how powerful it is. But it's like a computer. Have you ever noticed how if you're starting up a program, especially one maybe like Photoshop or one that requires a lot of random access with RAM, basically it ties your computer up and the whole thing slows down. At least mine doesn't, older computer here. But the point is it's the same thing for our brains. So most of the time we're going with these shortcuts. We're going with the way things have been, the way things haven't. And when you understand that, when you understand that human beings are going to take shortcuts, are going to make irrational assumptions, that is the power of when you can start using that to your advantage. And instead of saying, you know, I'm going to try to change the way human beings think in general, which I think is a noble effort, but I also think that every generation has to be retaught, and that's a big undertaking. But when you realize, you know, for me to accomplish my mission, which is to grow my startup, which is to get my nonprofit funded, which is perhaps to become the best salesman in my company, which is to be the best doctor in my department or be the best doctor I can be. When you realize that these irrational assumptions are something that you can actually, okay, I'm going to leverage this. I'm going to, you know, because I want to be a great doctor, what I don't want to spend time with is debating with my patients because they read some study on Wikipedia that I should be giving them this type of treatment. Instead, I'm going to dress professionally. I'm going to come in and I'm going to make sure that I've got, you know, I'm wearing the white jacket. I've got everything set up. Or I know some of you guys that are doctors outside of the United States, it's something that, you know, maybe you don't always wear the white jacket, but you wear something that gives off this profession, this showing that, hey, I did go to medical school for 8 years. I did do that residency for 5 years. I have treated thousands of patients and my heart is in the right place because I want to do the best for you. And I really, you know, I want you to trust me. And that is the goal of whether you're working in a auto parts store or whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, you want your presentation to, you know, irrationally, I know basically this person is going to say, you know, I don't know this person super well, but I'm going to trust them to do what it is they're here to do. And that's when I think that you can start using this to your advantage. You know, one of my favorite examples, and I've got this actually in my blueprint, I use the example of Susan Boyle. You guys remember anyone? Okay. So if you go and type her in, if you don't know who I'm talking about, but it was over on Britain's Got Talent. And I think she was in on their first year. And so you look at this woman and everyone's like, wow, she looks, I mean, she's got to be in her mid 50s and she's got a very frumpy look to her. Nobody expected her to do what she did. And what she did is she betrayed her expectations. She blew people away by the power and the beauty of her voice. Now, that's an example of somebody going in and us expecting them to fail and them blowing us away. And we just can't, wow, like I never would have expected that. What I like to help people understand is that you can actually do the opposite of that. You can go in and maybe do a tough situation and you can look the part of a success. You can look the part of what they envision somebody is going to do. So let's say you're a student at a university and a professor, he's got five people and you know, he's got five people that he's thinking of recommending for an internship. And you come in, I mean, but there's no, he doesn't really know you guys super well, doesn't know your families. All he knows is that you guys have generally about the same scores. You all ask good questions, but he notices that this one guy, you know, he's always well presented. Now, he's making a very big assumption here, but he's going to assume that what he has seen in the past will continue on into the future and that you're not going to embarrass him if he recommends you and you show up to that interview because he's basically putting his name on the line. Now, that's irrational because he has never seen you go to an interview, but he's making that decision based off of what he has seen and what he assumes will continue to happen in the future. And we trust our assumptions. It's something that we do this simply because it allows us to save time. And our assumptions, if you think about it, how many times have you trusted your gut? And how many times have you been right? Oftentimes, most people are going to say, yeah, I should have trusted my gut. And in fact, I went with somebody because of somebody else's recommendation. But deep down, I knew we should not have hired that person. There was something that threw them off. And that is the power when people, and most people naturally are going to try to trust their assumptions unless they have pressure that they can't. But when people trust their assumptions, it's actually going to a primitive part of the brain, the bit responsible for deciding whether, you know, to the fight or flight. And you want to do what you can when it comes to controlling your image and your presentation to create that subconscious feeling of trust so that they're going to say, you know, this person didn't score as high. However, I just really like them. And I think I'm just going to go with my gut on this. And those are the little times when you're not necessarily going to see that door opened because you didn't even know that that person weighed in on it. But I've had people reach out to me again and again saying, you know what, Antonio, I followed your advice. I became the best dressed man I could be. And all of a sudden I realized little things started happening. And it's those little things that build up, that extra 2% here, that extra 5% here, which over the period of months and of years and a lifetime can make a huge difference in your results. So over the next episodes, guys, I'm going to get you excited for this. We're going to be talking about the halo effect. I'm going to be talking about texture in the subconscious. I'm going to be talking about the science of sex appeal. I'm going to get into the field of enclosed cognition. And I'm also going to touch in about fragrance. I know I already talked about color, and but I want to get a little bit more into color and some specific studies on how we perceive color and how it has an effect on us. And I'm going to probably end this out with some fun ones. I'm going to talk about tattoos, piercings, and perception. I'm also going to talk about facial hair and basically bald heads and some of the stuff. I just find this incredibly fascinating. And it's one of those things that if you start to understand this, you start to realize that when you make a conscious decision of how you present yourself to the world, you control that message. And there are many things we can't control in life, but when you can control the message, all of a sudden you can start sending the message you want to, and you'll find that your life is going to start, you're going to feel like you have a little bit more control. And when that happens, I think that's a great win, and you're getting exactly what I want you to get out of this information. All right, guys, if you want more, go get the show notes. It's going to be over at realmenrealstyle.com/episode9. Interested in learning more about how style can increase your earning power, help you command respect, and come off as more attractive? I've got two options for you. One, go check out the personal image system. That's what this entire episode was based off of. I've got the science of style. It's action oriented, has an amazing community. We've got live training and 100+ lessons with great resource material. Or go check out Real Men, Real Style. I've got a free app over there for you, which has some of the world's most amazing style infographics. There's over a thousand free videos and articles. We've got free ebooks, free courses. I've even got a free consultation system that you can enter a little bit of information about yourself and get a personalized video. Guys, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode.